arms are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station. Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today.
Oh God of revival, let hope arise. Death is overcome.
And good morning. We want to welcome you to Wednesday Live. It's right now 11:01, and so glad that you have joined us. Keep your dial set at 89.9. We have a guest with us in the studio. We're going to welcome right away quick because everyone is on tight schedules. Did you know Christmas is coming? So we understand what you're driving out there, and make sure, as my father-in-law used to say, once in a while, keep it between the lines as you cross the line. So anyhow, welcome, Mindy Molina, so great to have you with us.
Thank you.
And you are going to have a brand new program coming on WCNO that's going to be starting the first Wednesday of the new year. Tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do, and what your program is going to be about.
Well, I'm really excited. So it's going to, the first program will be on January 4th, Wednesday, from 4 to 5. And I'm a financial advisor. I'm a fiduciary and also an insurance agent. So my specialty has always been the retirement world. Most of my clients are 55 plus and going into retirement or planning to retire. And there's just so many aspects of that that make it exciting for me, because being able to bring both the insurance side of the industry, which includes things like Medicare, all the drug plans, even, you know, parts of Social Security, annuities, lifetime income, being able to provide long-term care solutions for people, but then also knowing all you need to know about the stock market and investing and what's going on in their 401k, what's going on in their IRA accounts, and why are we losing money, how can we protect the money, and just being able to close the worry boxes.
Wow, that's a lot. You just said a whole lot. You talked about people that are planning to retire and people who are retired. And then there's another group that needs to plan and haven't got started yet.
Yeah, and that's the thing. People ask me, as an advisor, when you have your practice, one of the questions they say is, well, what is your minimum? And God has always put it on my heart that we don't have minimums.
That's awesome.
If someone comes to us that needs help, that needs guidance, that wants to save, I don't care. Let's go. It's so easy. The process is easy for no matter how much you have, whether you have millions of dollars or you just have $2,000 from your tax refund. Let's get you started, because everybody has to start somewhere, and I'm not going to turn people away that are willing to take steps to improve their
That's
future.
Awesome. That's awesome. Now, it's been what, Karen, about 2 years since we've had a financial interaction that's going to bring other guests in. I mean, we've had some others that have done singular programs, but you are planning to bring some other guests in on occasion as well, right?
Yeah, I already have this long list of people that I can't wait to get scheduled. But I work with CPAs and more than just one. I like to keep a team, because I think when I meet someone, I like to match personalities too, or even needs, because you might have one professional that really specializes in one thing and another that that specializes in something
sure.
else. So that, estate attorneys, you know, home health care agencies, Medicare specialists. Mm-hmm. There's just so many people in my network of the retirement world that can bring so much information and knowledge to our listeners.
That's awesome. You know, we continue to have calls from many of our listeners that mm-hmm. want to know. I know we have, you know, people from all over the region that want to know. And they're looking for help from godly counsel. And a scripture that I love, and I say it often as a pastor, from Psalms, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." God has godly counsel for us mm-hmm. as believers. And why should we not want to have godly professionals that have a heart for the Lord, have the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, and have the knowledge of the laws and the regulations, and is available and able to meet us where we are and give us the direction and advice that we need to make the decisions? And so I'm excited about this. Now, Mindy, how long have you been doing this?
So just going off what you said right there, there's been many times where I thought, oh, this is not the industry for me. You know, I think I've discovered a lot of corruption.
Why did you think that, though?
Well, one, I'm a woman, and it's always been men kind of dominate the financial advisor world.
Okay.
And that's okay, because, and I don't mean anything about that, but, you know, most of my girlfriends are, you know, teachers and nurses.
Okay.
And I always thought, God, what? But I'm not cut out for anybody that's bleeding, and I don't have the patience to be a teacher. So
that's not your calling.
It's not my calling. And the more I, you know, God exposed me to families, and the more clients, and just there's so much nurturing that does actually go into what I do. And there is so much that I just know this is what God has called me to do, just because of how my story unfolded and how I came into the industry, because it was very firsthand with my grandmother, which I could talk about that for an hour. But it was firsthand knowledge, it right in line.
So it was a need within your own family that really
my own family
stirred up an interest. And
yeah, and then what I was doing in my career started to make more and more sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it's like you can hear a song so over and over again, and then all of a sudden one time you hear it and it's really, really touching.
So people can get a hold of you how? I know that we don't even have your program on air yet, but how can people find you?
Yes, so they can find me obviously on the internet at mindymolina.com, and they can call my office at 8772. So 632-8772. And okay. They can email me at Mindy, and it's Mindy with an IE.
Mm-hmm.
So at mindy@mindymolina.com.
Okay, one more time. How long have you been in the industry?
I started out in 2002, right out of college. I was hired by HSBC Bank, which was the world's largest bank,
mm-hmm.
and they were really moving into the United States. And I got promoted right away and was the youngest branch manager in Lexington, Kentucky. I ran a $60 million branch there. And then 2007 was 2007, and I was saying to myself, things are not right. Hmm. And I thought coming to Florida, I got headhunted by a company here, and I moved to Florida, and thinking that I was escaping what was going on in the subprime market. But when I got to Florida, we got hit just as hard, you know. And I ended up just taking a job. I had a one-year contract with that firm, and I ended up at a company called Bankers Life and Casualty, and they specialize in retirement. And I learned so much there, and they're a really great company. The only problem was they were captive. I was captive. That means I couldn't give my clients I didn't have all the options, so I knew I had to be independent. And I started my firm in 2011.
Fantastic. So you are going to be in WCNO starting the first of the year, first Wednesday afternoon, 4 p.m., Wednesday, 4 p.m., January coming up. Mindy, awesome to have you joining our team. One more time, how can people get a hold of you early?
They can call 772-632-8772.
All right, so she can be reached at that number. And we're so glad that you're joining our team. God bless you. Have an awesome day and an awesome Christmas. And we will look forward to this great program and want all of you to take a note. Once again, Wednesday afternoons, we're going to have a one-hour live call-in program where you can bring all your questions and hopefully find answers to all of them. And Mindy is a woman of God, and she is not ashamed of Jesus Christ. She came right in with her with the word, and I was impressed with that. So we're looking forward to having you as a part of our lineup. God bless you.
Thank you.
All right, we're now going to link up with a pastor from our community that has recently moved to town. We're looking to make connection, and so in the next couple minutes we're looking for that call to be completed. And we need the door open so I can know that we're ready to go. So we're looking for, is Sherry out there? There's the call. Hello?
Hello.
Okay, let's see if we have Pastor Bray on air. Pastor, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. How are you today, Jonathan?
Listen, it is a delightful pleasure to have the pastor of the Grace Place Church on air with us, Steve Bray, Pastor Bray, and you are coming into town. I'm sure that there are a lot of people that would like to give you more jobs to do, and I'm one of them. But I want to welcome you to Martin County, and I want to welcome you to the Treasure Coast, and preceding pastors and leaders from your congregation have been great friends of ours here at WCNO Radio, and we are here to lift up Jesus every way that we can, along with you, and to promote what God has called you to do. So welcome.
Well, thank you so much for that welcome. You know, a year ago, my wife and I had no idea we'd get to spend this Christmas in sunny tropical South Florida, but the Lord had a plan, and we're just so excited to be here. Everybody's been so welcoming, and it's just we're so excited to be pastoring at the Grace Place. Just love the name of our church and what it stands for, the fact that we're all sinners who are saved by grace. Every single one of us needs Jesus, and certainly we're reminded of that this time of year.
Amen. So tell us where you came from, and we're going to look to schedule you in the future when you're not as busy and you have a little more time on down the road. But tell us where you moved from, and what's taking place at the Grace Place this Christmas season, so we can just let everyone know that there are a lot of great things that are getting ready to happen.
Sure. Yep. I'm from Indiana. Just spent the last 21 years in the Hoosier State, and the last seven in Richmond, Indiana, and then the Lord called us down here, and we're so excited to be here, and of course, we want to get the word out about our Christmas Eve services coming up on the 24th at 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock, and 7 o'clock, and I understand that we are well known in the community for our live nativity as well, and people are going to enjoy that, as well as a beautiful candlelight and communion service. During this month, we've been in a sermon series called Gift Exchange, because we're tracking the fact that, you know, just as in life, we all have received gifts at Christmas. In fact, I read over 50% of people get a gift at Christmas they didn't want, which is why December 26th is such a popular day in retail, because everybody goes back to trade it for something else. And so we've been talking about how that's the same thing is true in our own lives, that we have issues that we don't want in our life, that we want to exchange for something better, and that's really what Christmas is all about. The angel made the proclamation that he came to bring good news of great joy, and it also harkens back to the prophecy in Isaiah 61:1, which Jesus later quotes for his mission, that he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. So Christmas is all about the fact that we get to exchange our old way of life for a new way of life. And so we've been talking about how we can exchange loneliness for relationship with God, that God is with us, that he's Emmanuel, and that he's not distant and removed from us, but he came to live among us, to be be in a personal relationship with us. And we've talked about how we can exchange pride for humility, just as Christ humbled himself, Philippians chapter 2, and became nothing to come and live among us. And then last week we were talking about the fact that he came to bind up the brokenhearted, so we can exchange our brokenness for healing. And so Christmas is all about the transformation that Christ can bring into our life.
Amen. I know you must run. Could you just close lifting up a prayer over the Treasure Coast of Florida? And again, we welcome you to the Treasure Coast of Florida and know that God has awesome things for the body of Christ in the future right here.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on. Heavenly Father, we just pray this Christmas that your name would be made known. We pray for those folks that maybe are listening right now and they're going through a difficult season in their life, and I pray that the hope of Jesus would breathe fresh encouragement into them today. God, this is a season of good news, of great joy. You have a future and a hope for each person that is listening right now, and God, I pray that you would be made known in a new way to them, that they would sense your presence with them even now. I pray, God, just for a spirit of encouragement in their life. And Lord, we thank you so much that you loved us enough to send Jesus Christ into this world to live for us and to die for us so that we could know you. And God, we thank you for that, and we can't wait to see what you do in 2023. God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for joining us. Again, Pastor Steve Bray from the Grace Place right here in Martin County, Florida. Great church and also a ministry partner with us on WCNO. May the Lord bless you, and we look forward to building our relationship and lifting up Jesus in a powerful way together. God bless. Goodbye.
Thank you so much. Bye now.
All right. Well, here we are, team, it seems as if we might have a little mail. Karen, do you have any mail?
Yes, I have one letter here from our great listener, Celestine, listener and supporter, and he writes here, God gave me a house, and before I had this house, I used to pick oranges and apples off of trees for work. But now my house has these type of fruit trees, and I'm able to pick them with joy and hand them out to people in Okeechobee who could enjoy eating them. I'm very blessed with a lot of good things, and this is the reason why I write this testimony, to share the good news with others so that they can see that God is very good. Please continue to pray for me so that God can continue to bless me so that I may continue blessing many other people. Thank you very much for all your prayers. God bless. And that's from Celestine.
Isn't that awesome? Wow,
it's just amazing.
It's so awesome.
Faithful brother.
Faithful.
You know, he tells us he made his living picking fruit, basically, and now he's able to give fruit away because it grows in the yard of his home.
And that, you know, and that's what Jabez prayed, that, Lord, increase me, you know, so that I can do more.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's really, he knows what life is about.
And is that not part of this ministry, to encourage people to press forward and reach your full potential God has for you, and to not settle for less than God's best, not what your best might seem to be, or what you've experienced or what your family's experienced, but what is God's best in your life? David, what do you have?
Well, I have a little note from Janine in Lantana. It's either a request for prayer or she's saying she's praying, but it says, prayers for a bright future. Godspeed, Janine.
Amen.
And so I think she's praying for a bright future for all, not just
there you go, for all of us.
CNO,
yeah,
but for
all of us.
The people of God.
Amen.
Well, we do want to say to all of you, our family, that we're so blessed to be able to take a few moments. Some of you listen throughout the day. I have some people that tell me that they have a radio in different rooms in their home, and they listen regularly, maybe even through the night. But even if it's a couple minutes, you're on the way to work, you're on the way to the store, maybe you're picking up the kids, whatever's going on in your life, thank you for joining us. And we do truly pray that you have a most blessed and wonderful, prosperous new year in the kingdom of God. And David, I was thinking about that. It's not so much that I'm thinking, God, give us a prosperous year in the kingdom of man. But God, give us a prosperous year in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And to me, what that means is that we are seeing the favor of God on the work of our hands, within our family, in our marriages, with our children, our grandchildren, and that we experience that so that others can see what the blessing of God looks like and come to know Him.
Amen.
That is really what's on my heart. You know, over the years, I've known people that had a bucket list. Kind of sounds morbid, doesn't it? A bucket list, you know.
But, so final.
So final, right. Right, but they traveled the world literally looking to fulfill these things. I've got to do this before the end of my life. And David, I have to tell you, and Karen, I have to tell you, there's something that I so desire to do before the end of my life, and that is to experience a tremendous national revival and awakening in my nation.
Amen.
My bucket list only has to do with things God can do.
Yes.
Literally.
Yes.
I mean, I just can't think of a thing that I really have to have before I go meet Jesus other than I'm praying for relatives, I'm praying for my nation, I'm praying for the leaders in the nation, I'm praying, Father, that you open up the heavens, that you rend the heavens, that you come down, and once again, the United States of America is transformed by the power of our living God. That's my desire.
Amen.
That's my desire.
Yep.
All right, Ma and Paul are with us, so we must get right into the thoughts that they have to share with us today. The prophetic voices God has raised up in today's church all point to His plan for revival in America and the world. More and more believers are coming to grasp this truth as the Holy Spirit moves to raise up the body of Christ into evangelical action. Ma and Paul know that revival is on the way. They have been actively encouraging their fellow members at Bickers Corner Community Church to jump on the revival bandwagon. A couple of people have come along, sight of them as they have reminded their fellow congregants of the history of revival in America. It always begins with a small group of committed believers coming together in extraordinary prayer for revival. Ma and Paul are somewhat frustrated. Frustrated over the lack of response to their invitation to start a prayer group. Passionate as they are, this invitation seems to have hit a wall. Perhaps their impending discussion might offer a strategy for moving forward.
Well, Ma, I gotta tell you, I thought our church friends would be jumping up and down to get into a prayer group for revival. I really did. But one after the other, they seemed to be less than interested.
Well, you know, we got Sally Jo Fracklenburg and Marty Prelliput on board. That's a start, ain't it? And of course, we're also praying. Ain't four folks enough to get started?
Out of a congregation of over 500 people, I'd hope to get more than four folks, Ma. But no, everybody has an excuse. Old Milo Bajinski said he can't kneel anymore because of a hernia. Old Barbara Zellbart can't join us because we don't use the same Bible version she does. And at least old Bobby Kluchterflit had the courtesy to say he didn't believe a revival was coming and didn't want to waste his time.
Well, you know, I hate to admit it, Pa, but a lot of the folks I talked to after Sunday services had that same opinion. They don't believe God's going to bring about revival. They say something like, oh, God's going to do what He's always planned to do, and it don't matter what we say or do about it.
Well, that seems to be the prevailing attitude, and not just at our church. I talked to several folks what go to local churches. They have the same thoughts. I even spoke to Pastor Armine Flagellatoni at the Alpha and Omega Throne Room Pentecostal Assembly. He said he's working on more practical things for his folks. More practical? What could be more practical than getting God's people ready for revival?
Yeah, I also had a conversation with the pastor. Remember that fella who started that church on the river?
I know exactly who you're talking about. He's a city feller, from New York or Chicago, one of them places. He lost my respect when he did his first baptisms in the river next to the church. I guess a city feller wouldn't have the common sense to wait till the river wasn't at the flood stage. Why, they lost 7 people in that flood, and the fact he offered the families to do their funerals at no charge didn't help.
Yeah, and then there's that pastor at Glowing Cross Tabernacle downtown. He's got all his people coming in just to stare at rainbow flags and meditate on, as he says, blooming flowers of peace.
Ma, here we got a great opportunity to be a faithful, praying body of Christians. And ain't prayer a fundamental activity of the church? So many are wasting that opportunity. Seems to me some of them shepherds have given up on their calling to care for the sheep. My opinion, Ma, is that they ain't listening to the good shepherd.
I agree, Pa. Why, you remember old Cyrus Grugsley, who raised sheep for several years just down the road from us? His sheep are always wandering out of that pasture, getting hit on the road, drowning in the pond, and several were taken by wild dogs.
Yeah, old Cyrus was a mean one. Well, he said one day his wife was the one talked him into raising sheep. But he hated sheep. And they were stupid, he said. They smelled, they made too much noise. So he neglected them, hoping the flock would eventually disappear and he could do what he really wanted to do.
And what would that be?
Yeah, he wanted to hand-paint hemorrhoid cushions and sell them at the flea market.
Well, I don't see that being too lucrative. But if he was that interested in them cushions, might explain why he was so nasty.
Yeah, well, anyway, back to our problem.
Wait a minute, Pa. Is it really our problem? I mean, is that how we need to look at all this? I remember my daddy always said, when life gives you a challenge, take it to God before you try to fix it on your own.
He had a lot of wisdom, that's for sure. And I believe that's just what we should do. Even though, and I ain't exaggerating here, I would surely like to stand in front of the church this coming Sunday and peel back the ears of some of them apathetic folk with God's pure truth.
Oh, I know you would, Pa. But if God doesn't want you to do that kind of peeling, you might want to pray that he gets their ears ready for you to do a wickety-whack on them.
I got that, Ma. Prayer first. And just now, something come to me. It might be one of them epiphanies.
You mean an epiphany?
Yep, that's it. Anyway, comes to me, we all have been through a tough whirlwind of chaos in the last several years. 9/11, 20 years of war, the pandemic, and what came down on us from the government. We've been hit upside the head for a long time. I believe so many folks are just afraid to hope again. They want revival, but they've been disappointed again and again, always by other folks who make promises they really can't keep. Government folks who try to address the fear but end up making folks more fearful.
Well, I believe we got our prayer focus, Pa. Don't you think that? In the history of revival, every time it's come after people got hope from the Lord. And the breakthrough of hope came from just a small group of believers called of God to just pray faithfully in the Spirit until God moved as he wanted to. Don't you believe that? And when he did move, what filled the hearts of both the believers and the lost was the unbreakable promise of hope being given.
Yes, the hope of having God's mercy and favor, the believers having their passion for the gospel revived, and the lost hearing God's merciful gospel in the witness of the body of Christ.
Exactly. Now, why don't you call Sally, Joe, and Marty and tell them to get over here for some heavy-duty praying?
I'm on it, Ma. But first, I'm going to find that cushion I bought from old Cyrus last week. My knees won't let me kneel directly on the floor anymore.
Well, you know, just make sure to plug that hole in the center. Last time you used that cushion to kneel on, you got off balance and you fell over.
Oh, Ma.
Well, I'm pretty sure that God is going to keep Ma and Pa centered as they lead their small but potent group of believers in prayer for revival and the hope that sparks it. You might know folks who seem to have lost hope. Some will be your neighbors or co-workers, and even some in your church. Revival is surely coming, and God wants his people to be diligent in prayer. We need to agree with him in prayer for the saving of America and for the revival that will explode in this country and burst out of our borders into the world. How do you begin? Well, first get on your knees and open your heart to Jesus. The rest will follow.
Amen.
Amen. Well, what a great message from Ma and Paul today. And we are going to just remind you again with a song that revival is, I believe, the heart of God. If my people, revival happens in the church, if my people will humble themselves and pray.
Bye. your presence. We want to see revival. Jesus, bring us back to you. Oh, we need you to. We want to see revival.
And we are so glad you are listening today, 89.9. This is WCNO in Palm City, Florida. And it is right now about 11:35, and we may be able to connect with another guest. We'll see if they're available. You know, we were just talking about revival, Karen, and you shared some scripture there I thought was pretty powerful.
Yes, and of course I put it away.
You put it away already, right?
I got it right here. Yes, in Daniel 7. This is a scripture that always comes to me when we just see stuff going on that is not good, and there's plenty of it nowadays.
Yeah, they're like the marriage. We were talking specifically about this.
Yeah, so every, you know, and then you always have the sense like the church is on the defense, you know, where we should be the salt and light in the earth, but yet the earth is, you know, seemingly overpowering the church and, you know, in your face. So in Daniel 7, verse 21, says, I beheld in the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. You know, just those two verses right there, I don't really know the context of everything around it.
So you're not going to give us a prophecy lesson?
No, not a prophecy at all, but just reading that, you know, the enemy has always waged war against the saints and will continue to wage war until that time is fulfilled. You know, when the Lord said, that's enough, and then the Lord will return and the Lord will pronounce his judgment, his final judgment in the earth. And so anyway, that's how I see that. So it's like you always know that Dad is going to stand up.
Amen. The answer is in God standing up.
Yeah, that's that is right. The answer. It's him standing up, and then us realizing, oh, wow, you've been there all the time. And
the Ancient of Days. I love that reference to God.
Exactly.
Ancient of Days, who has never, ever, ever been less than the total victorious one.
Yeah.
So,
right.
You know, it sometimes, you know, I've heard people talk about Jesus coming, you know, as a child, he lives his life, he ministers, he dies, he, you know, he rose from the dead, and then he's victorious. No, he was always victorious.
That's right.
He didn't become victorious because he rose from the dead. He always has been victorious. He rose from the dead as a first fruit for us so that we too may celebrate and see the power of God to raise us from the dead. Death couldn't hold him. Bottom line, death couldn't hold him because there was no law of sin and death upon him. The law of sin and death is upon us until it's broken by the law of the Spirit of life and liberty. Thank God for that
law
of the Spirit of life and liberty through which we have life and have it abundant. Okay.
Hallelujah.
Let me see if I can bring our guest on.
Hallelujah.
And amen.
The Ancient of Days.
So y'all listening, don't give up hope. If you have, it's not of God.
That's right. He's already won.
He has.
All right. Let's see. We're right now trying to bring in our guests from Prison Fellowship. And Greg, I just heard you on the phone. Let's see if we have you on air with us. Welcome. And you are Greg Fuller.
Yes. Hi, I'm Greg Fuller with Prison Fellowship. So glad to be talking with you.
Greg, I am familiar with Prison Fellowship. To some degree, we receive emails and such forth, and I know that some things are done for the families of the children of prisoners. Tell us a little bit about who you are, about Prison Fellowship, and what kind of ministries take place this time of year, and how could people get involved?
Absolutely. Well, thank you again for the time to share about Prison Fellowship. Prison Fellowship, we've been around since the 70s, ministering to men and women inside prison. And we have some amazing programs called the Academy Program, where we minister to the men and women, and it's a 12-month program. But we don't stop there. We also want to minister to the families left behind, which most people don't think about. So there are a lot of kids who have moms and dads that are in prison, the husbands and wives that are left on the outside and are struggling. For them, it's a sentence to them as well, having a loved one inside prison. And one of our probably most known programs is called Angel Tree Christmas. And this is where we provide Christmas gifts to children. And typically, this is through the local church or Christian organizations. And we provide a Christmas gift to the children on behalf of mom and dad. And this program actually begins in prison. It's the parents, the incarcerated moms and dads, who sign their children up to receive Christmas. And we will serve about 300,000 kids nationwide in every single state in the U.S. And it takes a lot of work to take all of those forms and to those 300,000 forms to vet them, go through them, and then match them up with our partners.
Wow.
Wow.
So exactly how does that work? I know when I started poking around trying to find out exactly what is available. Now, we're on the Treasure Coast of Florida, so we reach into about 10 counties. We have several million people that have access to our station. And I know when I did a little poking around, I didn't immediately find out how our listeners, how we could actually become a part. I was trying to find maybe online an address or some directives or something. And I do, we do have several friends that are involved in prison ministry here up and down the Treasure Coast of Florida. And so just wanting to know what's available, because I know that God is at work in the prisons. There are a lot of people that come to Christ in the prisons, and being able to minister that love to their family is something that we believe is very important. So how could people take that step and become involved?
Well, you can go online. I'll share in a second to register for Angel Tree. We make it very simple. And there's actually two ways that you can sign your church up. You can sign up for your organization. And one way is what we call is the traditional Angel Tree. And this is where you actually will match you up with children in your community. And so that you would actually have, you can go and deliver the gifts to the children. Or some churches, some organizations will decide to have a Christmas party. You get to choose, which fits best for you, and they might have games and crafts and have maybe even pictures with Santa and things like that, and where families can come to you. But you get to choose whether you get to go and deliver that gift or have them come to you. So this is a very personal way to minister to the kids. And also we have is a virtual Angel Tree. And this serves a couple of purposes. One is that sometimes we have families and kids that are they live in remote areas where there isn't anyone, local church or organization to serve them. And so with this, someone can sign up and can, you pay the $25, and we will mail them the gift, a Bible, some other resources, and so they're still getting a gift, from mom and dad, and that's a way that for kids that live remote areas, and sometimes we have areas where we have so many children we haven't been able to find enough partners, and so the virtual way is that so you can live in Florida and serve someone that's maybe in the bush of Alaska. So it's a great way to make sure that no kid falls in the cracks and gets left behind, and they get that special gift from mom and dad.
So is the demand greater than the participation, or how does that work?
You know, it depends on the area. We have some areas where we have more people wanting to participate than we have, you know, kids available. And then some areas, you know, we have a lot more kids available than, you know, than we have partners, people who, you know, willing to participate. So it really depends on the area. And at this point right now, I would say this is to keep in reminder, what sets us apart, there are other great programs that you can give and impact the life of a child. One thing that's very unique about Angel Tree Christmas is that these are children, first of all, who have a parent that's incarcerated. So that's number one. Number two is that this is not it's not meant to provide a whole Christmas. It's just a suggested, you know, $25 value of a gift. If someone wants to give a little more or a little less, you know, that is fine. But it's the idea is that you are providing a gift on behalf of mom and dad. So someone could be maybe even potentially very wealthy. Let's say that these kids are living with an aunt or grandma who's wealthy, and maybe they don't even, you think, do they even need a Christmas gift? But you're providing something that money really can't provide. You're providing them a gift, something special, meaningful, on behalf of mom and dad that's inside.
Okay, so this is going to be a gift that comes from a faith perspective. I mean, I know your organization is a Christian organization. So, all right, the uniqueness is that it's going to be coming from the parent. Okay, so if I'm the child, let's say I'm the child and I'm out in the bush in Alaska and somebody has sponsored me, what am I going to receive a card? What does it say?
Yes, so you will, I'm glad you asked that question. You'll receive a $25 gift card so that they can use that. You know, it's not as special maybe as a toy, but it is, you know, it's still something special. The mom and dad, you know, on the inside, when they sign up their child, they can include a special note, you know,
okay,
a son, and you know, so they could include a special personalized note that will be included in that. They'll receive a Bible and gospel materials. And once a child is signed up in the Angel Tree program, that begins, they are now eligible. We also offer Angel Tree camping. So these kids, in most cases, at no cost to the families, can experience a Christian summer camp that's going to cost the family, it's going to be free for them. And there are a few camps that may want to have like a $20, it's very minimal, just to sort of secure that spot. But in most cases, it's absolutely free for them to attend a Christian summer camp. We know how impactful summer camp can be on the life of a child.
Most definitely. So now, of course, we're in Florida. I'm not sure where you're located. Are you out of state?
I'm in Columbia, South Carolina.
Columbia, South Carolina. Okay. Well, you're not that far away. Hello, Columbia. I have relatives up that way. So, where are these camps? Are there any camps over here, you know, on the East Coast of the United States? How do people get to them? How do families find out more about it? There may be some people listening today that have a spouse that's maybe in prison and they're just hearing for the first time, and maybe they're wanting to know, how can we get involved?
You can go to prisonfellowship.org and look up Angel Tree. You'll see all the information. We will have a list of the camps and all the different areas, and also can go there to sign up for Angel Tree. And one other thing that we have is also Angel Tree Sports. And this is where we bring in sports clinics. And again, this happens all over the country, and where kids would have an opportunity. And many times what we'll bring in maybe a high-profile professional athlete, a Christian athlete, so they're going to be encouraged by hearing the gospel and being supported by these men and women who are there and sharing about, you know, the sport and how they can improve their skill, where maybe otherwise they wouldn't have that opportunity. And that's something that we also bring in and have these usually it's a one day or a weekend type of sports clinic that they would get to attend at no cost.
Well, this is excellent, and I'm learning a lot more about the ministry just talking with you today. I wasn't aware of a lot of these options that Prison Fellowship makes available. Why are you a part of Prison Fellowship? How did you end up there?
My journey actually started when I was in Seattle, Washington, and just felt a call to make an impact. And I've always felt that. I've been in ministry all my life. I went to Seattle, Washington to help plant a church, and while there, just felt a call. I've always been called to serve people who've experienced brokenness, and I mean, I've always been drawn to people who have experienced a very difficult time in life. And when I saw this opportunity to minister to the men and women in prison, that was my role while I was in Washington. I covered Washington and Alaska and served actually the programming that we run in prison. And then had opportunity to move back to the South and work in more engaging churches and all of our different ministries. And it's a way to truly make an impact in someone's life, and I get a front row seat to see the power of the gospel in all of our ministries, whether it's happening inside prison, to see true change lives of men and women who've been touched by the gospel, and also on the families on the outside. There's a lot of needs there, and when churches take the time to engage in these families who see this beyond a Christmas project. And because they're in your community, you've already made that initial connection and begin to pour into them. I hear countless stories of people who have come to faith in Christ through that relationship with that local church. Because everything we do is always pointing back to the local church.
I like that. I like that. That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I'm so glad that you took the time to join us today. I know that we do have people that are listening today that in one way or another have been touched either through maybe some personal scrapes with law, maybe family members, maybe close friends, relatives, or maybe a part of ministry. But wherever our listeners may be coming from today, once again, how can they get involved in ministering to the children of prisoners? Give us a web address or whatever we need so people could be able to follow up with that.
Sure. The best thing, go to prisonfellowship.org, and then from there you'll see where you can get involved with Angel Tree. Now at this time of the year, the option is virtual.
Okay.
Where you
just
can
because
go
of the time,
and,
yeah.
Right. That's right. Yes.
So it's not too late to actually go online and make a difference in a child's life, and that's basically, you said, what, a $25 donation?
Right, at the minimum. Yeah, if you want to give more, absolutely.
You can, sure.
Right.
But a minimal $25 gift would at least provide for one child in one family.
That's right.
And that would give a personal
and
touch.
We do everything else. We will provide... We will provide, we'll mail the gift, on behalf of...
So there's additional cost, obviously.
Right, yes, that's correct.
Now, just, if you will, I'm going to ask you to pray in just a moment over incarcerated families and those that are listening today, that God's going to touch their hearts. But I do have one question just prior to that. Do you find families that have been healed, that have come to Christ, becoming a part in some way of your ministry?
Absolutely. We actually, you know, I don't know the exact numbers. We practice what we preach with our ministry. I would say close to a quarter of the staff of Prison Fellowship have been some way impacted by incarceration, whether, you know, they were the one incarcerated or they had a direct loved one that was incarcerated. And we are constantly hearing about people who are now in ministry, you know, who once were incarcerated and were impacted by Prison Fellowship. And matter of fact, you know, just probably the last event I went to, a gentleman, and this happens, you know, every event that, you know, every pastor's event that I attend, they'll stop and they'll see that, you know, recognize who we are. And he said, you know, I had a lady that came in and you know, through your programming that just ministered to me, and he, you know, said I was broken, I had no hope, and through that relationship, you know, came to know Christ. And now is involved in a ministry in a very a tough area and ministers to people that were broken like he was. And you know, these stories we hear constantly where people want to give back. A lot of our Angeltree coordinators were Angeltree kids themselves, or maybe they were the incarcerated one, and they are looking at this as an opportunity to give back. It happens. We see that's probably the greatest blessing of this, is that we truly get to see the fruit of what we do.
I'm thinking about that Christmas song, "And the Gift Goes On."
Absolutely.
The Father gives us the Son, and then we get to pass the gift on, don't we? Well, would you please just lift up the families that are affected, and just lift up our listeners today. We have a lot of prisoners who listen into this program or listen into our ministry, and so I know we'll be touching a lot of families today as you've joined us.
Yes, and before I pray, you know, I just want to encourage anyone, if you have a loved one that's in prison, encourage them, if they haven't signed up for Angeltree, to go to their chaplain. Normally, it's the chaplain that's going to be getting out the applications for Angeltree. We usually start that about in the May of every year. And to go there and to encourage them to sign up, it costs them nothing, and it makes a huge impact in that relationship between that child and the inmate. And so if you have a loved one or someone who's incarcerated, you know, please sign up, because your child gets much more than just a gift. You know, they're getting a relationship with the local church who are going to love on them year-round.
Amen.
With that said, let me pray.
Go ahead.
Jesus, we...
Thank you
for loving us. We thank you for this season that we're entering in now, and remembering your birth, and just God, we are so grateful, God, for coming into this world, God, that we didn't deserve you. You know, there's nothing that we have done to earn your love toward us. And we thank you for your grace, Jesus. And we just lift up to you. This can be a very difficult time. We lift up to you all of the men and women who are incarcerated right now. And they're in there for a reason. And God, we know that you still love them. Your grace still extends to them, Jesus.
Thank you.
And we pray that we, as a people who have experienced grace, that we would extend that same grace toward them, and look at ways how we can minister to men and women who are in prison.
Amen.
And just pray for them. Pray that while they're in prison, that they would encounter you, that they would hear about you, God, that they would be handed a Bible, attend a chaplain service, and God would respond to you, Jesus, that they would recognize their brokenness, their need for you.
Thank you, Father.
And just pray for encouragement, that while they're there, that they would be encouraged and grow in their faith. God, that you would move in their life and give them boldness to live for you and behind bars. We pray for the loved ones on the outside, those who are missing their mom, their dad, their husband, their brother, their sister. God, we pray.